How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. At this exact moment, we're in the middle of a gale warning. Gale force winds here, up to 50 miles an hour. So if in the middle of the show, I just vanish, disappear off into the ether, well, that's probably what happened. We'll try and get Mike connected as quickly as possible to continue on if such a thing happens. But I'm hoping that such a thing does not happen because, man, we got a lot to get into here today. So, we had a draft on Friday, and the show did an increase of 2.2%. Nobody cared about the draft. Did the exact same number, basically, as a week prior where there was nothing special happening. And not only that, we had a draft and also a Bayley versus Sasha singles match that had been in the making for like 3 years. It was up 2.2%. Well, in about 1 hour, on the dot, I might add, on my Twitter at Brian Alvarez, I will give you the ratings for Raw. Does anybody care about Night 2? On Sunday, I took you through all of the reasons why nobody cares about the draft anymore. And the number one reason is because they don't care about the draft. We're told that there's Raw brand talent, SmackDown talent. Originally, you were exclusive to your brand. Then they invented this goofy superstar mixed invitational or whatever they called it, where you could just go to the other show allegedly 4 times per year, but nobody was keeping track and nobody knew what was going on. And then it's time for the draft. And what happens is we draft a bunch of people on Friday, and then people who have been drafted to SmackDown, they just showed up on Monday. Seth Rollins is on the show Monday. This coming Friday, we actually have matches announced for SmackDown. And guess what? It's a bunch of Raw versus SmackDown matches. Jeff Hardy's on the show. Braun Strowman's on the show. They're both Raw talents. How could you possibly care about a draft when that's the way that they're treating their draft? And on top of that, oh, there's so much more. But I will get into it after the break. Wrestling Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. I'm Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. May the winds not knock this show off the air as I go through this draft fallout. Are you ready? Buckle up, everybody. Here we go. Raw. This is the new Raw roster. Drew McIntyre, the WWE champion. Asuka, the women's champion. The Hurt Business remains on Raw, all four of them. AJ Styles moves to Raw after moving to SmackDown because he was upset with Paul Heyman, who then moved to SmackDown, and then AJ said that he could no longer watch his kids' games on Friday, so now he's being moved back to Monday. Naomi, who has not won a match since August and has won a total of 4 matches in this year, 2020, she was the 5th draft pick above virtually everybody here in this draft. Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax are now on Raw, and they presently hate each other. Ricochet remains on Raw, but all of his buddies are either in the Hurt Business or have moved to SmackDown. After literally a feud that began on July 3rd, they blew it off by having Ricochet win a match via DQ after he threw a chair to Cedric Alexander and pretended like he got hit. That was the one win that they allowed Ricochet after 4 months of the Hurt Business beating up Ricochet virtually every single solitary week on television. According to storyline, the Hurt Business and Ricochet, they can no longer have anything to do with each other. We'll see how long that lasts. Mandy Rose is on Raw. The Miz and John Morrison are on Raw. Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods are on Raw. They were the SmackDown Tag Team Champions. The Street Profits were the Raw Tag Team Champions. The champions switched brands, and since the belts happen to be color-coded, Adam Pearce said, "Can you guys just switch belts so that the New Day will now be the Raw Tag Team Champions and the Street Profits will be the SmackDown Tag Team Champions?" So they switched belts. And so now all of you in charge of putting together your title histories and your Wikipedias, now you got to figure that out. And on top of all of that, the Street Profits are now listed as Triple Crown Champions, NXT, SmackDown, and Raw, because they switched belts. Dana Brooke is on Raw. Angel Garza is on Raw. We do not know where Andrade is. He was not drafted. Humberto Carrillo is on Raw. Drew Gulak, Tucker, Gran Metalik, and Lince Dorado. The Lucha House Party, after doing a storyline for like 2 months now, where they were going to split from Kalisto and presumably feud. Well, Gran Metalik and Lince got drafted to Raw, and their partner is on SmackDown, and presumably this feud cannot even take place. The Fiend is on Raw. Randy Orton, Charlotte Flair, who was drafted while injured because she's Charlotte, unlike Jimmy Uso, who was not drafted because he was injured. Braun Strowman is on Raw, but he has a match this coming Friday on SmackDown. Matt Riddle is on Raw. Jeff Hardy is on Raw, but he has a match this coming Friday on SmackDown. Raw actually drafted all of Retribution. T-Bar even made fun of this on Twitter because it's so ridiculous that you would draft a group whose sole purpose is to destroy whatever brand they're on. By the way, Raw drafted Retribution, whose sole goal is to destroy whatever brand they're on, before they drafted Keith Lee. But he is on Raw, as is Alexa Bliss. Elias is on Raw. Lacey Evans, Sheamus, Nikki Cross, R-Truth, Daba Kato, who debuted with a match that he lost in 1 minute. He has been drafted to the Raw brand. Titus O'Neil is on Raw. He was drafted before Peyton, who 2 weeks ago got back together with her partner Billy Kay, and this week they're fighting again on Main Event. Akira Tozawa is on Raw. Lana is on Raw, one of the last draft picks, but she also won a Battle Royal last night after being put through a table for the fourth straight week by Nia Jax. She is now the number one contender to Asuka. Riddick Moss, Arturo Huas, and Eric have all been drafted to Raw. For SmackDown, we have Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Sasha Banks, Bianca Belair, who could not win an Interbrand Women's Battle Royal to get a title shot, Jey Uso, The Mysterios, Big E, Otis, who every one of Otis's friends and every one of Otis's enemies have all been drafted to Raw. Otis is by himself, but he is still filing a lawsuit, or there's a lawsuit filed against him by Miz and Morrison, who are on the other brand, so they can't even settle this in the ring. Murphy, Kalisto, Shorty G, everybody, has in fact been drafted to SmackDown, for those of you very concerned, and I know I was. Bayley is on SmackDown, the Street Profits, Daniel Bryan, Kevin Owens, Lars Sullivan, who for two straight shows destroyed The Miz and Morrison, and then they drafted him to the opposite show, so they can't even do matches in the ring. Baron Corbin, Sami Zayn, one of the last draft picks, even though he is the Intercontinental Champion. Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro, Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode, Apollo Crews, Carmella, Aleister Black, Natalya, Ruby Wright and Liv Morgan, Tamina, Billie Kay, and Zelina Vega. I should note that on Raw Monday, we had a tag team championship match, which was won by The New Day, and they cleanly beat, if I recall correctly. Actually, I don't even remember who they beat. I think Miz and Morrison. Maybe they didn't. Who did they beat last night, Mike? Help me out here. I've already forgotten.
Who did who beat?
The New Day last night on Raw. They had a tag team title match. Who were their opponents?
It was Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler.
Okay, Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler. So with them out of the way, the remaining tag teams on Monday Night Raw are Kofi. Well, we got Kofi and Xavier, but the remaining teams are Miz and Morrison, Gran Metalik, and Lince Dorado, and whatever combination. Boy, did I call that one. Literally back on the air. Right as the commercial break ended right there. Well, you know what, Mike? We're just going to barrel on through like we always do. That was decent timing there, right before the commercial break. But if this goes down again, you're in charge. Got it?
I got it here as we hook back up the video and everything else here momentarily. But I'll just go where I left off here. I'm not sure exactly where it cut out. Going through, like I mentioned, you talked about a lot in that first segment about how ridiculous a lot of this stuff was. And I don't know where it got cut off, but Ziggler, Bobby Roode get a title shot for no reason after they make that swapping of the belts. Zelina and Andrade, as she got rid of them, and then they got rid of her, and Andrade just kind of talked her down, and then all of a sudden she's in the ring taking care of them, and they both get laid out by Alexa Bliss and Bray Wyatt. Okay, but then what happened to Andrade? Maybe they're taking my idea from yesterday. Maybe he is going to go to NXT for a while. It would be welcome on both sides, I think, both for NXT and the heel side of things and for him in some of the matches that he could have. I like that idea. So I don't know if that's the direction they're going or if they just don't know what they're doing. Raw took Retribution. Not only did they take Retribution, which is incredibly stupid on every single possible level, but they took them, they took Elias, they took Lacey, they took Titus O'Neil, they took all of these people over Aleister Black. They took them over Andrade. It doesn't make any sense. Why did SmackDown take Carmella or Apollo over Aleister Black or Andrade? It doesn't make sense. Why did Asuka just get up and leave on commentary and they don't say anything? And then all of a sudden she's standing sideways watching the Battle Royal. I mean, it's just ridiculous. The Intercontinental Champion is so low down on the totem pole that he was drafted. I mean, who is he sandwiched in between here? Elias and Lacey Evans in the fourth round, I believe it was, of the draft last night. And it's like, I wrote on Twitter this morning and I talk about Vince McMahon and the snow globe a lot and how he's just, it's their own little world there, their own little sports entertainment, weird little Stanford WWE world there. SmackDown and Raw the last 2 weeks, I'm not even upset. I watch it and it's like the deadest feeling because nothing matters. It's just an illogical, odd series of events that may or may not tie up together. And they just hover around in the snow globe that's being shaken up. Meanwhile, like Vince McMahon is standing in his own snow globe, shaking up that snow globe. And it's just, it's awful, and it's got nothing to do with the wrestlers. We talk about it almost every time on Sunday before a big event where we hope the finish doesn't ruin the effort that the performers put in. We know the storyline and the build has sucked, but once they get in there, it's going to be great. It's amazing. The greatest talent assemblage of all time in professional wrestling, bar none. You know, regardless of what you think of Japan in the 80s or WCW in the late 90s, I mean, this is by leaps and bounds more smart people working there and the internals, just everything. But, and I know you have been bashing on Vince for a long time, and deservedly so. I never bothered me seeing him on camera. And I understand why people don't like it and how jarring it is from the young Vince. And I know he doesn't even want to be on camera, but I look at guys like Vince and Don King and Bob Arum, and I know they're old, and I know they're just windbags, and I know they always have been in a lot of ways, but, you know, we're not going to have these guys for a long time. So Vince making the appearance once in a while on TV, okay, maybe I'm a little bleeding heart, but that's still a little nostalgic for that when that happens. I like when that happens. But as far as him in the reins of this company, I mean, I don't know what to say anymore when you're down to 1.5 million people. Basically, I know, oh, it's 1.6. I don't care. It's 1.5 million people. That's what you're down to. And you're putting on programming that is just, it literally makes no sense. And even when you want to chuck your brain and go, okay, I'll take this as a vacuum for what it is and I'll just watch it. And it's a 1 week wonderland. And who knows what happens on the next show? Even by those standards, it's still been a tough watch, and this draft has still been that bad.
All right, here's what everyone's thinking about this draft. You can text me, 425-780-7566, while we remain right here. This person says, I love the fact that WWE spent the last year trying to make NXT feel important. Just to draft Titus O'Neil over any of their talent in this draft. No mention of NXT. They wonder why they can't make any new stars. Got to help Triple H continue losing his fake ratings war. You know, what they could have done is just have some Raw SmackDown folks go to NXT and vice versa. But as noted yesterday, they on television stated that NXT was going to be a part of the draft 1 week ago. And between that day and SmackDown, they decided not to do it. So there you go. This person here says, I swear I heard Jeff Hardy say triple threat tag team match on Raw instead of a standard triple threat. What was that? Standard? I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Maybe whatever. Is Mercedes Martinez going back to NXT? Well, when they listed the members of Retribution that were drafted to Raw, there was only four of them. So the rumors are that she's going back to NXT, and based on the graphic that they showed on Raw, as of yesterday, she was going back to NXT. Now, obviously things can change, but that appears to be an actual fact. She is going back to NXT. Given the fact that top star AJ Styles can request and be moved to a different brand without issues, show that no real concrete plans exist for any of the stars. You could tell that no concrete plans exist by watching the TV show. Did Elias forget that Sheamus was revealed as the culprit who ran him over and that it wasn't Jeff Hardy? Yes. Yes. They did a storyline where Elias got hit by a car and Sheamus framed Jeff Hardy. And now Elias is back and he comes on TV and he says, I'm going to beat up Jeff Hardy. Charlie, who's not even on SmackDown, says, actually, we don't even believe it's Jeff Hardy. The culprit is still at large, he says. So I guess she kind of watches SmackDown. And then Elias basically says, well, I don't care, I'm going to beat up Jeff Hardy anyway. So yes, this is exactly like when Seth Rollins and Murphy removed the eyeball of Aleister Black, and Aleister Black decided that he was mad at Kevin Owens because Kevin was home at the time, as opposed to being angry at the people who actually took his eyeball out. In storyline, Elias is more angry at Jeff Hardy than he is at the man who actually ran him over with a car. What do you want me to do? Bert says, I'm sure T-Bar will be on Twitter defending this ridiculous booking of Retribution getting drafted to the show they intend to destroy. He did make fun of it on Twitter. He said something like, let's see how this works out for you. And he's right. In storyline, completely ridiculous. Lana winning in the main event of Raw was bizarre to say the least, this person says. But then they immediately told us it wasn't so important, so Drew and Randy closed the show. Dude, when they started that women's battle royal for a shot at Asuka, and I realized that's the main event of Raw, and I'd already heard that Lana won, I couldn't even believe my eyes. Can you imagine finishing with that match on Raw on Monday night?
Why? What matters? What matters? And by that point, maybe...
Well, that doesn't for sure.
Maybe they're treating it like Saturday night's main event now. At least for this week, they're treating it like Saturday night's main event, where it's like, okay, if you make it till 1 o'clock, cool, but we're going to front load the show. And we know everybody just skips out and watches something else to watch in the third hour anyway, so we'll just do this. But absolutely moronic. Fourth time through the table, though, by Nia Jax there for Lana. And Lana, apparently, look at her with her boxing skills there. I'm not sure exactly what happened there with her KO power of the punch there knocking out Natty's tooth.
Dude, when I look at this Raw show, they had an Owens versus Aleister Black no disqualification match that was a good match with a finish, but they couldn't close the show with that. They also had a three-way with AJ, Jeff, and Seth Rollins, which granted had a bad finish, but I mean, you could have ended the show with that. They had New Day versus Ziggler and Rude for the tag team titles, which in fact, not only was a good match, but the stipulation was that if Ziggler and Rude win, they're taking the belts to the other brand. They could have ended the show with that. But no, they ended with a Women's Battle Royal won by Lana. That was your main event of Raw. I am very excited to see what the ratings are for this show. I'd bet
you
anything.
I'm very pissed off at this.
It's the same as last week.
This stupid. Who's got Catalina for their Mac and it's causing all sorts of problems with these browsers, bastards?
I have Catalina on my Mac.
You got to deal with your wind. I got to deal with Apple.
Everything's working fine on this end, bro.
Yeah, really, till the wind blows again.
Well, my Catalina's working.
Yeah.
So, yes, in the match last night, at some point... Oh, there was Mike's thumbnail again for some reason. So, last night on the show, we had the Battle Royal, and yes, Natty got her tooth knocked out. And for those of you watching on Twitch, you just saw my lights flicker.
Good.
So, I don't know if Natty's lights flickered when she got her tooth knocked out, but they had that moment, and then later... They botched some spot and Natty just flipped her lid and started punching Lacey Evans and calling her a terrible name I can't say here on the air. That was something else. Nobody's talking about it today like they were talking about the Thunder Rosa Ivelisse thing several weeks ago, but it happened on Raw as well. So there you go. Mike's back. I see him right now.
Yeah, thanks. By the way, it's not a thumbprint. It's a little sticker I have over the regular Mac camera because of this fine piece of electronics that you sent here that apparently browsers will not recognize anymore after this Catalina update. So I'm going to need a whole new camera is basically what I'm thinking.
The camera's working right now.
Can I get another one?
The reason Retribution was not on the show last night is because Ollie already blew through his allotted 1 week push. It was funny. They literally announced on Monday
that
tonight
that?
On Raw, Ali will speak about Retribution. And lo and behold, the show airs and there is no Ali on the show whatsoever. They announced that during the day Monday. And by Monday night, they had already changed their minds and taken it off the show.
So stupid. And they had nowhere to fit it on that 3-hour show. No, nowhere to fit it at all.
This person here notes, so following the draft so far, we have had SmackDown star Seth Rollins appearing on Raw and wrestling on the show, not even doing the job on the way out. That's true. And as Dave noted, well, they wanted to set up a feud between Jeff Hardy and Elias, so it doesn't make any sense for Elias to beat Seth Rollins. He's right, but guess what? You could have had somebody pin Seth Rollins, and then Elias comes in and hits Jeff Hardy with the guitar. But no, they could not do that. They'd have a bad finish. I'll read the rest of this after the break, if we make it. Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Elver is here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. So yes, this person notes, Rollins appears on Raw, wrestles on the show, doesn't even do the job on the way out. We have a dual-branded Women's Battle Royal. And now we're going to have Braun Strowman getting a title shot on SmackDown, Raw superstar Jeff Hardy wrestling Lars Sullivan on SmackDown, and yes, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods wrestling on SmackDown, reuniting the New Day 1 week after breaking up. Yes, there's a six-man on SmackDown with all three members of the New Day back together a week after they broke them up and drafted them to different brands. That's why SmackDown was up a whopping 2.2% for the draft, and we'll see how Raw does tonight.
You know, New Day isn't exactly broken up as far as merchandising goes or anything like that. You know, I wonder if it'll be New Day International across both brands, or are they going to give Big E his last name back? Do they want him away from unicorns and Francesca and rainbows and all that sort of other stuff? Do they want him to be Langston again? It'll be interesting to see what they do with him. They obviously, I don't want to say they obviously broke him up for a reason, but there is a reason that they were broken up. Whether that changes or not, I don't know. But one of the reasons you'd have to think is they're going to give him a strong singles push. And a match against him against Roman would make sense. You know, a beloved Big E against a jerk Roman. And I bet they, in the trails of that story, can get some really good stuff out of Big E if Paul Heyman is involved. But that's all fantasy booking right now. I don't know why they did it, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they continue with the New Day merchandising across both shows or if we're going to end up seeing some sort of change, especially out of Big E.
My wife just sent me a picture of our neighborhood. There's trash cans strewn everywhere. It looks like a tornado came through. All right, more news here. Joey Ryan's run of recent lawsuits has continued. PW Insider first reported Tuesday that Ryan, real name Joe Meehan, filed a $10 million lawsuit against Impact Wrestling's parent company Anthem Sports and Entertainment in mid-September, alleging breach of contract for firing him due to allegations of both sexual abuse and assault. Anthem has until Saturday, October 24th, to respond to the suit that was filed in Nashville. We have reached out for comment to both Impact and Anthem, but have not received a response. Ryan's contract ran through August 2021. Impact released him June 22nd. Based on language in the contract regarding warning and reprimands, he claims they needed to inform him of any issue in writing, along with a 5-day cure period, as it states in the contract. According to the contract language, if nothing could be worked out by the wrestler in 5 days, he and Impact would then have 30 days to resolve the issues. At that point, Impact could have terminated the deal another 30 days after that if there were still unresolved issues. $10 million sought is in addition to legal fees and other, quote, relief that a court may find in his favor. He has filed 6 lawsuits. That one right there is the latest.
Well, I guess how it usually goes, your lawyer doesn't get paid unless you win the suit and collect, and then they take a percentage of that. Not that I would know about that or anything on either side of that, but regardless, he's got a lot of lawsuits out right now, and it obviously is for sure he knows he's never going to work again with the money he's trying to go after and what he's trying to say. And it's I don't know. PR wise, there is nothing good for Joey Ryan. It'll be interesting to see where these cases go, how far they actually go, and who ends up getting dragged in and involved in them. But aside from that, it's all this guy's got. And I don't know, maybe it was supposed to be that way. In fact, maybe it could even be worse for him.
NXT champion Finn Balor has undergone surgery following the injury he suffered at TakeOver. Successful surgery last Friday after suffering a broken jaw at TakeOver. He had 2 fractures of the jaw, including one going into his tooth. Tooth was removed, wired shut to restore the bite and help align the fractures. 3 plates screwed in to fixate the fractures for a quick recovery. Thankfully, no wires needed. He noted he is still the NXT champion. And finally, Eva Lise tweeted, or I guess stated during an interview Monday, that she has signed with AEW. She said she was overwhelmed to get the offer in the same week that she lost her home in a fire. Tweeted about the fire in mid-September. She'd been under contract for about a month, if the timeline is accurate. So there you go. Eva Lise now part of AEW. No phone calls today, everybody, because God only knows what's going to hold up. But if you want to text us, 425-780-7566. I got enough disasters without the phone lines open.
It's enough bad wind blowing in, especially after Sunday, too.
But feel free to text us. This person says, the Adam Pearce backstage segment with him coming up with the genius idea of exchanging the tag titles had to be one of the dumbest things I've ever seen on WWE television.
Actually, to me, it wasn't dumb. In some ways, it actually makes sense because the draft is so dumb that to me, the sub-levels of stupid that fall under it, I mean, that made more sense than what they usually do, which is incredibly predictable, which is this team wins and then this team wins. Oh my God, what's going to happen? And then some other team just takes the belts away again. They've done that a gazillion times. In some ways, it was just like, okay, here. I mean, to be honest, to have 2 tag belts anyway, I mean, who cares about the lineage of these things or how it plays out on wrestling-titles.com or however it goes? Who cares at this point about the lineage? They don't even have enough tag teams to have a division so on either side. So what's the point of both sets of belts anyway? I was hoping what they were just going to do was merge them together and they were going to give them, like, you know, just black leather-strapped belts or something like that, and then you can just take them from brand to brand like the women's title.
Bro, listen. My biggest issue with this storyline is that, once again, it's not even what happened in real life, but in storyline, this billion-dollar organization that has been promoting professional wrestling since 1963 is so incompetent that they created rules of a draft. Apparently never thought about various possibilities. This is all in storyline. This is not real life. This is in storyline. If you're watching and pretending this is real, they're so incompetent. They created rules for a draft. Something happened, and then they had to figure out how to solve the problem after it had already happened. That's their storyline. Their storyline was, they said, in this draft, you can draft the champion and the belt will go with them. So these geniuses in storyline came up with an idea where, like, Raw could have had most of the champions. Which, by the way, then when you find out that, you know, whoever, Naomi was drafted before the Raw Tag Team Champions. It's like, so you drafted Naomi and you gave the other brand the opportunity to have 2 sets of tag team titles. That's how incompetent you are in storyline. And then when one tag team gets drafted to the other brand, and then the other brand drafts the other set of tag team champions, and then they figured out, oh my gosh, well, man, the Raw Tag Team Champions with the red straps, they're on the blue brand now. And the guys with the blue straps are on the red. What the hell can we do about this?
Turn them into purple.
Priest.
Oh, wait, that's 205.
Or not Priest.
Live.
Pierce, what can we do about this? I don't know. Let's call a meeting. And the best they could come up with was, let's have them trade belts. And then they're going to trade belts, and now the Street Profits are listed as Triple Crown champions. They're listed as a team that have won the titles on Raw, SmackDown, and NXT. Even in fact, they never won the titles on SmackDown. They switched belts. In storyline, this is the most incompetent group of numbskulls in the history of wrestling. That's in storyline. And I'm supposed to support this promotion? That's what happened in WCW when the storyline was that WCW sucked. And they collapsed and they went out of business. Because fans were like, why should I support a promotion that sucks in storyline?
This is how you got two title belts in the first place. Triple H being awarded the heavyweight title. This is with no lineage there. They just bring that in, and it's like, oh, yeah, here you go. Here's big gold, and you're the champion now since you didn't want the U.S. title or the Intercontinental title, whatever they want him to have, was too low for him. But, I mean, think about this. You drafted Retribution over Keith Lee. You had, to show you what the belts mean, I mean, you had, what, 17 Intercontinental champions there at one point, whatever, three Intercontinental champions that you have a ladder match for. Then you give it back to the guy that you took the belt away from in the first place because you didn't like the fact that he stayed home with COVID, even though you didn't take that out on other people, but you took his belt, you end up with three of them, you have a ladder match, you give it back to Sami Zayn, and then you don't draft him until the ass end of the draft when, one, he's got apparently less talent than, oh, again, I don't know, not yet. Pick anybody that was drafted before him, and, oh yeah, he's one of your champions. If you don't think the belts mean anything, then what do the belts mean? They mean nothing. They're just props in your little snow globe.
So, if I can figure this out right here, it's very important that I figure this out. Okay.
Yes. Math?
It's not math. Calm down for a second. Let me look up some information here. Yes.
Yes, let me calm
okay,
down.
Okay, so here we go.
Go ahead.
So, this person says, you won't believe this, but with New Day and the Street Profits swapping the belts, they have given up their old reigns and begun new reigns. The New Day are now 10-time tag team champions, and the Street Profits are now 2-time tag team champions. It says here, yes, even the Wikipedia editors are dumbfounded with this. Well, these Wikipedia wrestling editors, they got what they deserved. But anyway, you know what that means? You know what that means?
Damn.
I'll tell you what that means, okay? Dude, you know how many debates there have been about things on Wikipedia, and these Wikipedia editors are so stubborn, and they refuse to look at the facts of a situation based on what WWE has said. A promotion that has admitted that they make up things like attendance, but they are still determined to state that it was 93-173 at WrestleMania. And, all, I mean, Dave getting the actual receipts from the promoter of the, it doesn't matter. WWE, well, now you got what you deserved. WWE has claimed that now the New Day are 10-time tag team champions. You know what that means?
What?
That means that last night at the beginning of Raw, the New Day was tied with the Dudleys for the all-time record. And at the end of the show, the New Day has now beaten the Dudleys for the all-time record by doing nothing except getting drafted to another show. So if you actually care about records and such, I mean, just stop. It doesn't matter anymore. The Dudleys' record has been broken by a draft that necessitated the company saying, give the red belts to the other guys, and you guys with the blue belts, give them to the guys on the blue brand. That's how the Dudleys' all-time record for tag team championships was officially broken.
You're acting like the Dudley's record for tag team championships is like means something.
Well, they mentioned it last night like it was a big deal on the show. They actually mentioned it on the show last night that they are tied with the Dudley's for the all-time record. And then by the end of the show, they weren't because they swapped belts.
Sorry, as cornball BS. Just no other way to say it. I mean, just absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Boy, are we flooded with text messages here. Wikipedia a week ago had Killian Dane listed as North American champ. I'd like to figure out how they had that one listed there. As far as the Ali advertisement, they actually announced it Sunday and did not mention it on social media Monday. Okay, I'm sorry. So They announced it 2 days, 1 day before the show, as opposed to the day of the show before they pulled it. This person here, this is another good one. What's with the commentary making it sound like Seth Rollins was the only one who knew Jeff was going to face Lars? They announced it an hour before Raw. Well, yeah. Well, apparently the announcers were not on social media. And announcing something an hour before the show on Raw really means less than some people think it means. Back in a moment, Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Spurs says they should have just traded the strap material and not the plate so the lineage doesn't change. Now, you know what they should have done? If anybody in this billion-dollar company and storyline had two brain cells to rub together, what you do is you say, you know what? This happened, and it could happen again. And we don't want that to happen. So what we're going to do is Kofi Kingston, Xavier Woods, you guys are now the WWE Tag Team Champions. And Street Profits, you guys are now the WWE Universal Tag Team Champions. Done. And it doesn't matter what brand they're on. It doesn't matter if they get drafted next time. Nothing matters because, like the US and Intercontinental titles, they're named differently. They are not brand specific in any way. They are just title belts that can go to one place or another. Or you unify them and the champs go brand to brand like the Women's Tag Team Champions. This is what a competent organization and storyline would do. They did what an incompetent organization would do. And we're supposed to support an incompetent organization. It's ridiculous.
I'm not supposed to do anything. I can't. How can you support this? You know, and it, look, the ratings meet that out. And I know everybody, well, it doesn't matter what their bottom line is. If you're not a stockholder, then you should not care about their bottom line. You should care about the product you're seeing on your TV screen, the product you're seeing on your TV screen. Unfortunately, not due to the talent is incredibly subpar.
We're out of time, everybody. We made it to the end barely. Want to thank y'all for listening. Mike, as always, callers and listeners, sports byline, twitch.tv/F4W video, the mightier 1090 AM. We'll talk to you again next time, Wrestling Observer Live.